Welcome to the Cult Film Showdowns series, Octagon Inappropriate. In our search for the ultimate B-movie, the Cult Film Showdown has looked at 150 films, but some films didn't quite make the cut for one reason or another that they wouldn't really fit into the Octagon, but they're worth looking at for the fun level of the movie itself. I am joined by Nick Boxer.
Ayo, I got no balls.
All right, and I'm think I forgot to introduce myself. I am Jim Cotta. Also with us, Jack Hall.
And it's two episodes in a row you forgot to introduce yourself. I got big balls. I mean, not for health reasons.
That's what. Yeah, you're right. At some, you should really get that looked at, honestly. Man of your age.
I'm uncomfortable sitting on this chair right now.
You have to be concerned about.
So in our journey through these films, I believe I brought this one.
Yes, you did.
I did indeed. Yes. And so this is a comedy horror that was filmed. It's a France-Belgian filmed in Spain. So a nice international vibe, driving distance international. And this is called Girls with Balls, 2018, available at least in our region on Netflix, and has been on for ages. So I believe it's one they have at least North American rights to, or put in some money or something. Bought it outright. This is a film that happens.
This is I would call this, I would rename this episode Octagon Appropriate. Because I wish this was in the Octagon.
I was going to suggest, like, is there a list we can put this on to get it into the Octagon? Because I think it would score pretty good.
I think so too.
Well, glad to hear that. It's a tight film. Like, that's one of the things that we often run into is a film that just overstays its welcome. Like last episode when we talked about the 127 minute In the Name of the King, this 77 minutes, great length for comedy horror. Nick, tell us what happens in Girls with Balls.
Sure. Our heroes are a volleyball team that just finished their championship game. These are young girls, definitely below the age of consent, thankfully, because it's not really sexy. It's not about that. I just want to get out of that there. That are traveling to their next game. I don't know where they're just trying to get home from the championships. Their van breaks down, and they run into a bunch of hillbillies that decide to hunt them for fun. Thankfully, our girls have the skills and the balls to fight them off, the skills being volleyball. It's great fun. I loved every freaking minute of it. took about 10 minutes to get what this was, and then I just laughed my ass off. No surprises, but wow. Entertainment. Just great.
What'd you think there, Jack?
I love this. I love the hell out of this. I can't believe this thing is lowly rated in most circles, because I'm like, this is that type of film that generally finds, like, it may not be mainstream, but it finds its cult audience and becomes highly rated. Like, you know, it's so much fun. Hilarious. Some of the jokes land hard. I couldn't find like budget or anything like that. I found an original script that was from 2012 where it was, instead of hillbillies, it was half man, half pig. And and they worshipped an 800-pound hog. And in the end, the only one character survives is the character who's least likable, but she ends up birthing a new race. That's the only trivia I could find on this thing. But as far as like a film, like it's fantastic. And if you're the type of person who listens to something like Cult Film Showdown, then this is the type of movie you're going to enjoy too.
It is just, and actually rewatching it, I laughed even more, I think. Just the over the top violence, the interpersonal, the interpersonal stuff between the volleyball team is always teenage girl stuff. There's bullying. There's I slept with your boyfriend. There's a lesbian couple, and one of them is the first one to get killed, and it, like in a most brutal way. It's like Yellow Jackets with laughs.
That's a good analogy, you know, and even things like that interpersonal relationship, like you say, one character sleeps with another. Well, I mean, the boyfriend of one character sleeps with a few members of the team, but one character admits it to her best friend, as the boyfriend has slept with her, and it leads to a great gag when later on she finds her cell phone and she has a chance to call the police, and instead calls the boyfriend and curses him out. And I was like, this was so, that was one of the best jokes in the whole thing.
Oh, that was so great.
I think maybe the reason this scores lowly is there isn't really a likable character, a completely likable character in this. They're all pretty flawed people. And I found that a little abrasive to start. But once I realized what kind of body count we'd have in this thing, I became suddenly okay with it.
I'd say captain was probably the most likable character. She was the most straight-laced she's probably the most likable character because she was the honorable one, but maybe too straight-laced even.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one down. That is the one negative of such a short runtime, is that you don't get a lot of character development. You kind of get like one or two things from each of these, because you've got seven girls and the coach before you even meet the bad guys. You got 10 minutes or so to kind of get something out of each of them that just lets them be a character in your head, as opposed to just like one of the girls and you can't remember which one's which.
Yeah, a character. They're a character tripper. Like, you know, it's like, yeah, she's the fat, uncoordinated one. She's the hot, bitchy one. She's the straight-laced captain one. And yeah, I mean, you get something just to hang your hat on. But the probably, to me, my favorite character by far, so awesome, so incredible, was the coach.
Oh, this character is a chicken shit scene I watched 8 times.
That was amazing. I love this. I loved it when he had the dog bite his dick and then did the little dance trying to get it off. It's amazing. And I can't say what happens afterwards, because again, so much of this is one of the problems I'm going to have with this movie, is I want to talk about it, but I know it's not a film that's being seen by a ton of people, and I want people to watch this, and I don't want to ruin the gags.
Well, we could tell our listeners, pause this, come back in 77 minutes, and we'll be there for it. It is so fun. And the coach kills me. The stuff the coach does, because when they get confronted, or when things start to turn bad for them, the coach runs and says, like, follow me, or everyone run. And he takes off running down the road, and all of the girls go a different direction from him. They split into two groups. And it's quite a bit of screen time before they show him again, and he's realized that no one followed him because he was just running flat out. And he's kind of losing his mind at the same time. And he has a line that just slayed me. Okay, how many of us are there? Okay, there's one. There's just me.
It was so great. And the fact that he's a bigger fellow, larger guy, and just like all of it that played into the physical humor of him being in charge of this team. And it's just, it's a great character, great performance by the actor. I think he just goes by the name Artis. if I remember correctly. But yeah, I know that he just steals the film for me. Every scene he's in, he comes back at the end, and he's just freaking awesome. You know, I mean, everybody does well with their points. I also like the girl that was the one who cheated on her friends with the boyfriend, that she was like the mascot character. I just liked her because, you know, the one character says, run and make noise. And she goes, make noise. She goes, yes, yeah, just run and make noise. So the noise she makes is, oh, shitty plan. This is a shitty plan.
Her striptease was hilarious as well.
What's that?
With the bird hat on.
Oh, yeah.
Macho man. Like,
she's macho, trying to. I don't exactly know what she was trying to have happen there.
She tried to seduce him.
She was. I don't know that that was any better plan than what she was already, what she also was already facing. God, every character has just such a great little moment too. Like every one of them has, like, you know, their time to shine, as like, mm-hmm. as well as, you know, who is this person? They also have, like, everyone has a little hero moment. Everyone has a little non-hero moment. There's so many little bits, like they come across a group of Boy Scouts who are some kind of like Christian Boy Scout, because they're doing, you know, devotional songs.
And way too old to be Boy Scouts.
Well, it's like, it's that whole bit. That whole bit is just like sight gags. And
he's got one of the best. I'm going to spoil it. I'm sorry, folks. Well, there at the end, and he takes that, I can't remember what it was he grabbed, but he throws it at one of the kids and it hits the kid in the face. And then he realized the kid has dark glasses. And he's like, oh, sorry, I forgot. And it's obvious the kid is blind.
And he threw it right at him. Yeah.
Sorry, I forgot. The kid's just sitting there unmoving, just getting hit in the face. Oh, it's hilarious. Oh, my God. And then my other favorite joke, probably that was one of them. Well, there's so many good ones. Like, it's just hilarious. And yet there's a few times where it tries to almost get serious and that doesn't work so well. But luckily, it's not much. Like, it's over the top silly most of the time and the gory as hell, which is just great. The other one I love is when the one girl's trying to distract or trying to look. And she needs to distract these guys, but while she's looking at them and trying to scope out what they're doing with their van. And she holds this cat up, and she's holding the cat up. And when she's done with the cat, instead of putting the cat down for absolutely no reason, you see the cat just get thrown way across the screen and go, what? It's amazing.
I'm wondering if you guys caught my favorite joke, actually. The decapitation scene. The guy running off. Did you notice he shows up at the end running through a shot?
Oh, no, yes. I missed it. I saw him in a couple of shots, but I didn't realize all the way at the end.
I was like, I was thinking the same thing. Like he's got to show up right at the end for no reason, because he's decapitated and he keeps walking around like a chicken with his head cut off. He never stops walking. He's got to walk like 5 miles without falling.
When I saw him at the end, I just cracked up. I lost it. I had to rewind the movie.
So great. This is like I say, I can't believe this isn't like Shaun of the Dead level popular. Because I can't really see a lot of difference between these two.
It is that kind of humor. And it's interesting, as Nick said, because they're played a little bit younger, like maybe 18 but probably 17, like they look like they're starting to make decisions about their future kind of age, and but that keeps the sexualized part of it out. It's France, so it would it'd still be in, but so it's not there. But really,
yeah, it's not there. There's the dance.
Yeah,
I think they got to be, I think they're probably 19-20, to tell you the truth. I think they're in that range. Because of how old the boyfriend looked.
Mm. But they don't play up the sexual aspect, which is actually refreshing in this type of movie. Because I could easily see, if this was made in America, it becoming like zombie strippers or like, you know, that TNA type comedy, and a lot of the humor would work, but being as they, it's not that, it's these real, more real girls, it works better.
Well, and that's the thing. I was thinking when I was watching it, I was like, I would like to see an American remake of this. And then I realized, well, A, they'd never get the humor because it's very French. It really is, you know. And I don't think they'd get the humor, and it would translate, and it would be. But also, yeah, I mean, it would be sexualized. Now, don't get me wrong. When I first put it on my to-watch list 5 years ago, it was because I was hoping it was sexualized. But it was actually kind of refreshing that it wasn't. So I'm still not opposed to that.
I also like how useless volleyball is as a skill to fight off the bad guy.
Hey, it worked.
Oh my God, that scene was hilarious. Two of the girls are going to make their stand. They're going to be proactive. They're taking the offensive, and they fire volleyballs into the faces of all these guys, and they're smacking them, and they're busting noses, and all the guys fall. And then all the guys just get back up because it's a volleyball. Like, there was no follow-up to that. They didn't start shooting or grab a gun, a sword, like, just...
I know they're volleyball players, but there had to be a better plan in that.
And that's the thing is, these girls didn't have the highest IQ. None of them were the brightest girls.
And there's two that are really good fighters, but the rest aren't, which is nice that it's like, that it kind of
by
has
the end, there's, by the end, you can say there's a couple others that are really good fighters by the end. And that's part of the character arc.
Yeah.
Like, a couple of them have character arcs and become, you know, very effective. And it's why they survive.
But none of them become martial artists. So like, there's a couple of the things that the ones who are better at fighting do is like a self-defense class level. Mm-hmm. Kind of smacking someone around.
But there's a sense of the very last scene, the final scene, that there's a sense that... that they're badasses.
Yeah.
When they show up.
Yeah, they've really changed over the course of this. Like, you know, those, that's, I think, like, as well as those moments, is just, even though there's not that much setup for them, there is still a solid arc for all of them, which is really amazing to have done in this length of time.
With so many characters, too.
We had been talking about Lord of the Rings a lot on the last episode, last time we met on our last episode, and there's a bit in this that is exactly from Lord of the Rings, where two of the girls, they're getting chased, and they pop down under this outcropping into some water, and they're like, you know, don't make a sound. The bad guys are right above them. There's that bit in Lord of the Rings where the Nazgul are right above the hobbits. And they're like, okay, wait. And then the guys up above start peeing in the water. And I could not stop laughing for a single second.
And it's getting on them, and they're trying not to scream.
And oh, it goes, my God.
I'm like, I'm surprised because there's certain people who that's a fetish for. I'm surprised, again, that this is a more popular movie.
Now, did anyone else spend a significant amount of time trying to figure out the hillbillies? Because
are they hillbillies, or are they state?
It was an unintentional European thing that hillbillies doesn't translate directly. They kept calling them hillbillies, but I didn't think they were hillbillies. Really, at times they're dressing up in medieval knights stuff. They've got weird makeup. They don't seem to have any rules to their society. They may be some sort of homosexual cult. It's not like there's no real world direct parallel.
The cannibals. They're cannibals. They're making cannibals. Sausages and meat out of the out of the girls. They dress in robes at one point and wear makeup like the Satan worshippers. They wear hoods almost like but they're burlap saps instead of, you know, Ku Klux Klan type homes. robes and hoods. They're I mean, it's all over the place. Did I mention that the original script they were half man, half pig?
That would have made more sense. And if it was made in America, they'd use like common movie tropes to like shorthand it. But I like how weird the bad guys are in this.
Yeah, that's
hillbillies.
That guy having the chihuahua there is hilarious.
I think hillbillies are so common a trope for movies because of their popularity in American movies that they're recognizable even in France, even if they don't have the Southern hillbillies in the same way. I think it's become just so common.
See, I watched it with the English track, so I thought that might have been just a translation thing in it.
That's how it was translated in the subs as well.
Yeah, I also watched the subs.
But I think you're right that it's probably from a French word that isn't quite hillbilly. Because we have, like, the image of hillbillies we have comes from, you know, Deliverance and Wrong Turn. They don't seem quite like that from the outset. Because, the first time they meet them, they're running a hostel that has no one in it. There has no one, no room for them to stay. But it is, like, it looks like a business for all intents and purposes. Which is strange because that never goes anywhere. Yeah, like I think it's just that, yeah, they just do so much of what these guys are. Are they hunting humans? Are they cannibals and that's why they're hunting? You know, you don't have to hunt humans and be a cannibal. You could, like, you know, just, you know, take them out faster than that. Are they going to sacrifice these girls at the end? Are they going to eat them or both? The only thing they don't seem to want to do is, you know, do something untoward to the girls besides kill them and eat, possibly.
Yeah.
There's no sexual part to that either.
Well, I mean, they are grinding up a man's leg and foot in a meat grinder at one point. So I assume they were going to eat them. But they're not looking to, I mean, it's not, you sure got a pretty mouth going on here.
Well, maybe.
No, I mean, there's so many weird, like, human moments. And, like, the whole thing with the head and the ear. Like, they killed. Yeah. That was just weird that, yeah, if somebody hands you a human head of a loved one, of course you notice the ear was somehow mutilated, but to think to ask that, like, just a nice weird moment. I don't know.
It looks like someone had taken a bite out of it, because he looks around and he's kind of like who did this?
Yeah, he's real disappointed that she doesn't like it, and then he's gonna kill her anyways. I mean, there's no clear motivation for these guys. It doesn't matter. This is a film that in the first 10 minutes, I'm going, oh, this just seems unnecessarily crude, with girls saying to other girls, oh, things like, show me your pussy and stuff like that, the lesbians and whatever. And you're like, oh, I don't know about this. This is just, and then once the hillbillies show up, this thing is the funniest and most, up until that point, it's just the coach who's keeping me in. But it doesn't take long. I mean, it's only 77.
What's the turning point for me?
Pardon me?
Chicken shit was that was the point I got it.
Yes, when they run over the chicken.
Chicken shit and running away.
Yeah, it's when they did run over the rooster on the road or the chicken on the road, that helped. Because that was pretty damn hilarious. Because I was like, I didn't see that coming. That established to me what I was going to get in this film. But it takes a few minutes and I wasn't sure about it at first, but once the hillbillies show up, it's just so much fun and hilarious. And up until then, like I said, it's just the coach character carrying me, but it doesn't take long because this thing's 77 minutes. So it doesn't take long to get to the hillbillies and get to the action and get to the jokes. Wonderful.
The car door. All
right, so more heart than budget.
Oh, 12 out of 10.
Yeah, perfect score for You don't make this movie without wanting to make this movie.
I want to take a second to talk about Olivier Alfonso, which I'm gonna that's my best shot at his French name. This, unfortunately, is the only movie he directed. And this is 2018. He is an incredibly prolific special makeup effects artist. And
that makes sense.
He was listed as special makeup effects artist on The Substance, which came out this year. So I would not be surprised to see him on the Oscar stage. The effects and the makeup effects in that movie were astounding. He's done quite a lot. He's got over 100 credits on IMDb for makeup. So he's maybe he's France's Tom Savini. One directing credit and a zillion makeup credits.
Yeah, and the one directing credit for Tom Savini, also amazing, fantastic film, right? Mm-hmm. And it's only 5 years, so we'll see what happens. I mean, it could be that he hasn't seen anything he's liked since then, or it could be that it didn't do as well as they thought, and so he didn't get another shot, and he eventually will because of his other success, or it could be a billion things. It'll be interesting to see. It's definitely a name to keep an eye out for. That's for sure. The Substance, I don't even know that film.
Demi Moore and Margot Qualley.
Oh, I do know that. Okay. Because I hear Demi Moore at like 62 or whatever, naked a lot.
Yeah, she is.
Still looks great.
Would still do. Yeah. I mean, it helps that the boobs are only 30.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe even less. They might not be old enough to see the film.
But yes, an impressive list of credits.
I looked up artist, the guy who played the coach. He directed a film a few years ago and has he's been in like 5 films since, and he directed one that he was in a couple years ago. So I'm probably going to check that out if I can find a way to track it down.
Yeah, that'll be the next challenge, is get your VPN and your Netflix going. start looking.
Yeah. Well, Lord knows the girl who played Morgana or whatever, however you pronounce it, is one of the most beautiful women I think I've seen in a long time. Gorgeous girl. So I would track her down too.
And actually quite a bit older than she's playing. She's would have 34. Been. Yeah, she would have been like 28, 27, 28 when she made this. So yeah, playing quite a bit older than, but yeah, so just incredibly gorgeous, like drop dead.
Beautiful eyes.
Yeah. So if you have impure thoughts about her, totally fine. It's the French, so
eyes. You know what I'm really talking when I say eyes, you know.
That's right. You mean her eyes. Yeah. Also
her tits. Her eyes are up where? I'm sorry, I didn't notice. What's our next film?
Well, let's look at the next film. Our next film coming up. The second last of our series. And we'll be looking at Dark Star, directed by John Carpenter, 1974. And with a crazy cast and a crazy list of people who worked on this, this was the film that started several careers, including Dan O'Bannon, who co-wrote the film.
Stars in.
So we go from comedy horror to comedy sci-fi. You can find the Cult Film Showdown on the internet. We are on Instagram as Cult Film Showdown. We are on YouTube as the Cult Film Showdown. Please like and subscribe. We are on Patreon as the Cult Film Showdown, where you can support our efforts. And maybe we'll start a GoFundMe or something to get this guy another movie directed. We are sponsored by WeTalkPodcast.com, the home of the Octagon, our search for the ultimate B movie. And We Talk Podcasts has a Facebook and they have a Twitter. Or X, sorry, X. They have an X. I have an X too, but I don't talk about her. All right. This is Jim. Nick and Jack will split into three groups. Three groups of one person. And we'll catch you next time.
That was incredible. Split into groups. We'll have a better chance. You mean two groups of one people? Oh, just amazing. So good.
It's those little laughs too. Like that's what gives you the value in the end, is just like those little tiny things that
this will be
just
rewatched.
Pile up. Well, cause she, yeah. Also like after the peeing scene, you hear just barely the one of the girls say, "I got some in my mouth."
Yes, I know.
Yeah, they did let a second go without getting a joke in if they could. Just everywhere.
Yeah.
The I think the two groups thing works so well because you're with her for a second there. Who else is there?
Yeah, it's like she's all right, she's taking control. She's got the handle on this.
All right.
I'm so glad you guys did.
Let's go. I think right now Dark Star is available on Prime, I think.
Oh, is it that month? That's another one, just every couple of months.
That's another one. Yeah. But that's one of those ones that's just like this one. It's a movie that started off and people weren't too sure about, but developed a cult following over time that I'm waiting for Girls with Balls to develop, that it deserves.
Yeah, it does deserve it. It is on both Tubi and Prime. So whichever one you feel like giving the minutes to. I mean, there's only slightly more ads on Tubi now than there is on Prime.
I pay to keep my ads off Prime.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I'm like, it's too damn annoying.
I don't mind it on Tubi,
but it bugs me on Prime.
I laughed so hard the first time that I saw the break-in because they did play the commercial. I knew that was going to happen. And they said, "We now return you to your movie uninterrupted." And I'm like, no, it's not. You interrupted it already. It doesn't matter if you do another one. It's already been interrupted.
All right. That's it for us. Right. Everybody go out and watch this damn film. Seriously. Then watch Dark Star so you can listen along to that one. But watch this first. And could the two movies combined will come in at like 2 hours and 30 minutes.
So just a shade. Just a shade over. In the Name of the King. and they're like five times better than In the Name of the King. So I don't want to say math. I don't want to get too much math in here, but I think that makes them like 20 times as good. something like that.
I think you're right. Something like that. That's how exponentially it works.
It's cultural showdown math.
Yeah. Kind of like Steiner math. Look that up too if you've never seen it.
All right, there's our post credits done.